Thank you. Good morning and welcome. Let's find our seats, take our songbooks, turn to song 449. Song number 449. Dwelling in Beulah Land, 449, let's sing it out on the first.
Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth be set on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth. Shall move me from Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky.
Praise God!
I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah Land.
449 on the second.
Far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle on the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle.
Third,
let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here there's not can harm me. I am safe forever.
Sky, praise God.
I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh, yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah.
You're singing well, sing it out on the last.
Viewing here the works of God, I seek in contemplation. Hearing now His blessed voice, I see the way He planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah.
Sing it out.
I'm living on the mountain.
We hear it. Praise God.
I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh, yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah Land.
Amen. We want to welcome you to this special Father's Day service here at Ready Baptist Church. We're so glad that you are with us, and we, of course, want to wish a happy Father's Day to all of the fathers that are in attendance with us. And we'd like to begin the service with a word of prayer. Let's go ahead and bow our heads together, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for allowing us to gather together today. Lord, we thank you for fathers and the impact and the influence that they have upon our lives. And we thank you, of course, for being our great Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that you'd bless the service today, the singing, the preaching, that it would all bring honor and glory to you. Help us to draw closer to you today, especially fathers. Help us to be attentive and ready to hear, to learn, to help us understand how to be better fathers for our children. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Turn to song 363, wonderful words of life. 363 on the first.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words.
On the last,
sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen. All right. Well, let's take our bulletins this morning and we'll look at some announcements real quickly. If you do not have a bulletin, just raise your hand and one of our ushers can get one for you. If you need a bulletin, just put your hand up and we will get one for you. The verse this week, Proverbs 17:6, children's children are the crown of old men and the glory of children are their fathers. And of course, that's a good Father's Day verse there. If you open up your bulletin, you'll see our service time, Sunday morning service, 10:30 a.m. We're glad, of course, that you're with us on Sunday morning on the Lord's Day for church. We do invite you to be back tonight at 6 p.m. for the evening service. The evening service is different than the morning service, different songs that are sung, different sermon that's preached. It's one more opportunity to be in God's house with God's people under the preaching of the Word of God. And tonight, we're going to have several special things going on. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Of course, we've got lots of special things going on today as well, and this entire week. We do want you to notice there in the bulletin that there is no Wednesday evening Bible study this week on Wednesday night, and the reason for that is because of our conference on Thursday, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but I do want you to make note of that. If you look at our soul winning times, our main soul winning time is on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., and then we have additional soul winning times on Thursdays, and usually Sundays at 2 p.m. Today is postponed as well due to Father's Day, and I'll give you instructions for those of you that would like to go soul winning here in a minute. First of all, let me just say this. If you're a first-time guest, and if it's your first time here at Verity Baptist Church, we're so glad that you are with us. And we have a special gift we'd like to give you as you walk out of the church building this morning. If you go out our main foyer there, you'll see a little table set up. And on that table, you'll see these little gift bags. Please grab one on your way out as a gift from us to you for being our guest this morning. There are several resources in this bag that we'd like you to have. But the one I like to highlight is this documentary that our church made. It's called Being Baptist. Very well made, very interesting. We think you'll like it. And we want to give this to you as a gift. So please make sure you don't leave here this morning without grabbing one of these gift bags on your way out. And if you are a guest, we'd ask that you'd please take a moment to fill out the communication card, which is inserted in your bulletin. And if you need a pen, just raise your hand, and one of our ushers can bring you by a Verity Baptist Church pen. And you're welcome, of course, to keep the pen as a gift from us as well. We're not going to do anything odd with your info. We would just like to have a record of your attendance. We actually would like to send you a little gift, but we need your information to do that. So please take a moment to fill the card out. When we're done with the announcements, we're going to sing a song. When we're done singing, we're going to receive the offering. And as the offering plate goes by, you can drop this card in the offering plate. Or you can hand it to me after the service. I'll be standing at the main door back there greeting people on the way out. I hope you'll come by and say hello. If you look at the announcements or the bulletin there, of course, we are a family integrated church. What that means is that children and infants are always welcomed in the service. We do not separate children from their parents for any reason. We do have mother baby rooms and daddy rooms available for your convenience. All of the rooms have comfortable seating. They've got monitors or windows set up so you can watch the service and listen to it. So if you have a child that's being distracting during the service, or if you need some privacy, we'd encourage you to get up and use those rooms as needed. If you're not sure where those rooms are at, you can look at the back of the bulletin and you'll see a layout of our church building. It'll show you where the mother baby rooms are, where the daddy room is. It'll show you where the restrooms are. If you need to be baptized, please let us know. We'd love to baptize you. On the communication card on the back, you can check off that you'd like information about baptism, and we'll follow up with you in regards to that. If you look at the announcements and upcoming events, lots of things going on here this week, and we just want you to be aware of these things. First of all, of course, today is Father's Day, so we want to wish a happy Father's Day to all of the fathers in attendance, and we've got some special things going on today. Of course, I'll be preaching a sermon geared towards the fathers, so praise the Lord for that. And after the service, we have a gift for all of the men and boys. So all of the men and boys, regardless of whether you are a father or not, you will receive a special gift today. Obviously, we have the gift for all of our guests, the gift bags, and all of our guests are welcome to have that. But everybody, every man or boy in attendance today, we've got these Verity Baptist Church t-shirts that we are giving out as a free gift today. So after the service, assuming you stay till the end of the service, and if you stay awake, then we'll give you these shirts. We're going to have them set up in the back. As you walk out the main foyer, we'll have them set up, and we've got sizes, all sizes, from young children all the way up, and they'll be marked, and you can go by there after the service and get a Verity Baptist Church t-shirt as a gift. Of course, we gave the ladies' shirts out on Mother's Day. We're giving out the men's shirts out today on Father's Day. And then, of course, this week we have our Red Hot Preaching Conference, June 20th through the 23rd, and we want you to be aware of that. We've got people that are coming from all over the country, and every year we have people that come from all over the world, and we just want you to be aware of a couple of things. First of all, the conference begins this Thursday, June 20th. It begins at 6 p.m., all right? I want you to make a note of that. Normally, our midweek service, our Wednesday night service, is at 7 p.m. The conference begins at 6 p.m., so make sure you don't forget about that. And there will be no Wednesday evening service on Wednesday, June 19th. And the reason for that is the conference. Now, you should have in your bulletin one of these inserts, and it'll give you the schedule so you're aware of what's going on. The conference begins, the evening service is at 6 p.m. We will have soul winning on Thursday at 2 p.m. if you'd like to be a part of that. And you'll notice there are the speakers for the day. We'll have a Friday morning service at 10 a.m. And then in the afternoon, after the morning service, we have a pastor's luncheon for the pastors. We have soul winning at 2 p.m. and a teen activity. It's a water games teen activity at 3 p.m. Then we'll have the evening service at 6 p.m. On Saturday, we have soul winning, and we have an ice cream social at 3 p.m. And then on Sunday, you'll see the schedule there. We just want you to get acquainted with the schedule. Make sure that you are participating. And I always think it's interesting that we'll have people literally come from all over the world for the Red Hot Preaching Conference, and then many of our own church people won't come. Which that's okay. I'd rather you be here on Sunday than be here on Friday. But if we can get you to come to all of it, that'd be great. So plan to be with us for the conference. And also, we just want you to make a note of this. On the back of this sheet, you'll notice some parking instructions. If you could help us with this, we would appreciate it. And we just want to clear out parking for our guests. Usually, when people drive into the property, the tendency is to just, as you're driving in, to just go left and park on that side of the building. And we just want you to be aware that we'd like to make an effort to keep the, if you notice there, the section in red says guest parking. We'd like to keep that open for our guests that'll be coming for the conference. So if you could do us a favor, if you're part of the church family, if you could do us a favor and make an effort to just turn the other way and park on the other side of the building that people seem to not park on, or on the back of the building, or on the very back of the building, you know, up against the wall and the at the end of the property, and if needed, even on the grassy area, all right, the grassy knoll there. For you conspiracy people, if you can park on there, that would be great. But the guests, help us keep that guest parking area open, and we would appreciate your help, of course, with that. Not only that, but tonight we're giving out the Red Hot Preaching Conference t-shirts as well. And of course, we give out the Red Hot Preaching Conference t-shirts every year to the conference, but we allow our church family to get them first. So if you're here tonight for the evening service, after the service, we'll have t-shirts, the Red Hot Preaching Conference. I didn't do this on purpose, but it's just a t-shirt day today, all right? T-shirts in the morning, t-shirts at night, for the men and boys in the morning, but tonight for everyone, men, women, and children. Get your Red Hot Preaching Conference t-shirt tonight. Have it early so you can wear it to the conference if you'd like. And then we've just got so much going on. We've got the church picnic coming up. I often tell people this is the most spoiled church in America. We've got just so many things going on, but we'd like you to just be aware of that. 4th of July, Thursday, July 4th at 3 p.m., we've got the address there for you, and this is a great event we always put on. There's going to be a water balloon fight for the kids, volleyball game for the ladies, softball game for the men and teen boys, fireworks after in the evening, and we'll have food and fellowship. And especially if you're new to our church, we want you to come and be a part of this event. This will be a good time to get to know people and have a good time of fellowship. This is probably one of the best events we put on every year, the church picnic. So we'd love for you to join us. If you can help us, men, with either bringing a grill or helping us grill, we would really appreciate your help. Please let us know on your communication card. And there's sign-up sheets in the foyer. So if you'd like to sign up to be in the softball game, men and teen boys, there's a sign-up sheet for you. Also, ladies, if you could help us with either bringing a side dish or dessert, there is a sign-up sheet there as well. There is choir practice today at 5 p.m. Sorry, it's not canceled for Father's Day. They're practicing for the conference. The conference is next week, so they got to get that practice in. It's at 5 p.m. Don't forget about that. There's other things there for you to look at. Please don't forget to turn your cell phones off or place them on silent during the service so that they're not a distraction to anybody. And right now would be a good time to just look at your phone, put it on silent, put it on vibrate, and make sure that it doesn't go off. We have special music today. We've got the Verity Baptist Church Men's Ensemble that'll be singing for us. We're going to sing a song, we're going to receive the offering, and after the offering, the Men's Ensemble is going to sing for us. So make sure that you are praying for them and looking forward to that. If you look at the back of the bulletin, birthdays and anniversaries for the month of June. This week we have Alina Rolden's birthday on June 17th. And also on June 17th, we've got Brother Mike and Miss Diane DiPasquale's anniversary. On June 19th is the Ezekiel Nelotescu's birthday. And then we've got a couple of staff wives who share a birthday. Miss Eva Rodari and Miss Melody Gonzalez have a birthday this week on June 20th. And then, of course, on June 22nd, we are remembering John Cyrus Rodari as well. Praise report, money matters, all those things are there for you to look at. Just a couple of more instructions, if you would not mind. Because today is Father's Day, we are not having a 2 p.m. soul-winning meeting, all right? We're trying to keep the afternoon open so you can go out, take your dad out for lunch, or do whatever you need to do. So there will be no 2 p.m. soul-winning meeting. However, if you'd like to go soul-winning, then you can still get a map to go soul winning. Just meet Brother David, one of our staff men, in the back, directly in the foyer after the service. He'll have maps and invitations for anybody who would like to go soul winning this afternoon, but there will be no 2 p.m. meeting. Make sure you make a note of that. And also, there will be no 2 p.m. cleaning this afternoon. The staff will be cleaning right after the service for the evening service, and if you'd like to help with that, you can meet them in the foyer. They would appreciate your help with that, but there'll be no scheduled cleaning at 2 p.m. due to Father's Day, so just make note of those things, and we appreciate your help with that. I think that's it for all of the announcements. That's enough announcements. Let's go ahead, and we're going to sing the chorus of the week as we prepare to receive the offering this morning, and we're going to sing The Wonder of It All. And this is the kind of song you got to sing with passion, all right? Let's sing it out. On the first, the wonder of it all, on the first. There's a wonder of sunset at evening. The wondrous sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think. We're gonna We're going to sing it out on the second, but this time, let's sing it out like you're in awe of God, all right? Let's sing it out like it really is a wonder that Jesus and that God would love us. Let's sing it out on the second.
There's a wonder of springtime and harvest. The sky, the stars, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is a wonder that's only begun.
Here we go, sing it out. On the last,
there's the wonder of God's revelation. The Word who dwelt amongst men. But the wonder of wonders that fills my soul is that Jesus is coming again.
Good, sing it out.
The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me.
Amen. Good singing. We'll have the guys come up and help us with the offering at this time. And then we'll have the men's ensemble sing for us this morning after the offering. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And we thank you for allowing us to gather together today. Lord, we pray you'd bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. Pray you'd bless the special music and also, of course, the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. If you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. Proverbs 23. We will read the entire chapter as is our custom. Proverbs 23. Just keep your hands up and an usher will bring you a Bible. Proverbs 23. The Bible reads, "When thou sittest to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is put before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up and lose. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that beget thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom, and instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come together. Please bless Pastor and the message. Please let the message bring glory and honor to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're there in Proverbs chapter number 23. And of course, today is Father's Day, and we have been spending the last many weeks on Sunday mornings in a series entitled Emotional Intelligence. And we've been learning about emotional intelligence as we have been studying this out. And of course, on Mother's Day, I preached a sermon entitled The Emotionally Intelligent Mother. And today, as we officially finish this series, being Father's Day, I'm preaching a sermon entitled The Emotionally Intelligent Father. And of course, for Father's Day, we want to have lots of special things, and we're glad that you're here. But the most important thing, of course, is the preaching of the Word of God. Everything else is great. These guys, they did a wonderful job. You know, we scheduled this men's ensemble to sing on Father's Day, and they had mentioned to me that if they did a good job, could they possibly sing for the Red Hot Preaching Conference? And I said, if it is well, then you can sing. But I think it was well. I think they did a good job. So praise the Lord for that. You're there in Proverbs 23. I'd like you to look down at verse number 26. I'd like you to notice these words, Proverbs 23, 26. The Bible says this, "My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." If you're a father here this morning, I'd like you to mark this expression in the Word of God, "My son, give me thine heart." And I want to speak on the subject of the emotionally intelligent father. And of course, if you haven't been with us, I would encourage you to go back and listen to all of the sermons that we've been preaching on the subject of emotional intelligence. But just to give you a quick update or to catch you up, we've learned in this series that emotional intelligence is our ability to recognize our own emotions and to regulate our own emotions, and also to recognize the emotions of others and regulate ourselves around the emotions of others. We've learned a lot of practical things on the subject of emotional intelligence, but today I want to focus in on fatherhood and on the need for emotional intelligence in fatherhood. And I think the Bible speaks a lot on this subject. And if you're taking notes, and I always encourage you to take notes, on the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to write down some things. Especially you men, you fathers, I'd encourage you to write this down, although I think this will be helpful to mothers and anyone really in all sorts of relationships. But I'd like to give you several thoughts this morning. In fact, just three specific thoughts regarding emotional intelligence in fatherhood. Emotional intelligence in fatherhood. And the first is this, that an emotionally intelligent father will turn their heart towards their children. Emotionally intelligent fathers will turn their hearts towards their children. The Bible speaks a lot about this idea of your heart and your heart being turned towards your children as a father and towards your father as children. And I'd like to just begin this morning by showing you in the Bible where the principles of the heart are stated. I want you to notice there in Proverbs 23:26, we see that fathers should endeavor to have the heart of their children. Here we see Solomon, who's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, these Proverbs. And he speaks, if you've read the book of Proverbs, you know that he's speaking to his son all throughout the book. And here in Proverbs 23:26, he says, "My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart." And what we learn from this is that fathers should endeavor. And it's not just fathers, it applies to mothers as well. But of course, today being Father's Day, we'll focus on fathers. Fathers should endeavor to have the heart of their children. Now, I'd like you to keep your place there in Proverbs, if you would. We're going to come back in that direction. Please put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there. We're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. But I'd like you, if you would, to go with me to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter number 4. Malachi chapter number 4. And I'd like you to see this prophecy in verse number 6. Malachi chapter 4 in verse 6. Now, what we're going to see in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6 is actually a prophecy of the coming ministry of John the Baptist. Of course, we are at the end of the Old Testament. There's about to be a period of silence in which God does not speak to his people. And the New Testament will begin, and it'll begin with the ministry of John the Baptist. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, notice what the Bible says there. The Bible says, "And he," this is referring to John the Baptist, a prophecy of John the Baptist, "and he shall," notice what the Bible says, that John the Baptist's spirit-filled ministry was to do. He came to prepare the way for the Lord. He came to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. But in his ministry, as he ministered to the people of the children of Israel, the Bible says, "And he shall," notice number one, "turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And number two, "the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." I want you to notice that we saw in Proverbs 23, "My son, give me thine heart." And what we learn from that is that fathers should endeavor to have the heart of their children. What we learn here in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6 is this, that children will turn their hearts to their fathers only when fathers first turn their hearts to their children. I want you to notice the divine progression here. Malachi 4, 6, "And he shall," number one, "turn the heart of the fathers to the children." The first step is for fathers to turn their hearts to their children, and then the result will be the heart of the children to their fathers. And this is what the Bible teaches that the progression is. The progression is this. If we as fathers are to have the hearts of our children, and we should all endeavor to have the hearts of our children, then it must begin with us turning our hearts towards our children. Now, why is this emphasized with regards to fathers? I think it is emphasized because it is a common thing, unfortunately, for fathers to have their hearts turned somewhere else, to have their hearts focused maybe on business, maybe on their career, maybe on a hobby, something they spend time on, to get focused on something like sports or something that turns their hearts away from their children. And the Bible here is telling us, and then fathers wake up one day and they are astounded at the fact that they have lost the heart of their children, they have lost the respect of their children, they have lost the loyalty of their children, they have lost the relationship that they could have had, that they should have had with their children, but it all begins with the father. And he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children and the heart of the children to the father. And then I want you to notice what he says there in verse number 6. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And I would say to you this morning that we in the United States of America are experiencing this curse of a lack of fathers who have turned their hearts away from their own children. We are experiencing the curse. When children today, high school students today, have to go through metal detectors before they can go into their public high school for fear of being shot up, we are experiencing the curse of lack of fathers who have turned their hearts away from their children. And I just want you to understand these principles as we begin this morning. Fathers should endeavor to have the heart of their children. Fathers should, like the proverb says, fathers should say to their children, "My son, give me thine heart." But the process does not begin with a son or a daughter giving their heart to their father. It begins with the father first turning his heart towards his children. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then step two, the heart of the children to their fathers. I'd like you to go to Luke, if you would. Luke chapter number 1. You're there in Malachi. If you just go past into the New Testament, past the book of Matthew, past the book of Mark, into the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 1, I want you to notice that in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17, this prophecy is reiterated. Now we are in the New Testament. John is coming into the world, or has came into the world, and here in Luke 1:17, we're being told of that ministry, the fact that he's coming, and it's being reiterated for us. Look at it, Luke 1:17. The Bible says this, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias too." Notice what it says, talking about John the Baptist. He's coming in the spirit and power of Elias too. Number one, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Again, notice the divine progression. And number two, The disobedient to the wisdom of the just. I want you to notice here that Luke 1:17 quotes for us the prophecy in Malachi 4 and verse 6, but it quotes it for us in a little different way. Now, oftentimes in the Bible, when the New Testament quotes the Old Testament, sometimes it does not quote it word for word. And sometimes people look at that and they'll say, well, this is a mistake, or there's something wrong with the Word of God. There's nothing wrong here with the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the Bible, it's its own dictionary and it's its own commentary. We are to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And the friend in Malachi 4 and verse 6. Because in Malachi 4 and verse 6, it says to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Luke 1:17, it says to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Malachi 4, 6 says that he'll turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. But in Luke 1:17, it says that he will turn the hearts of the disobedient. The disobedient. Why does it say that? I believe what we can learn from this is that the only way to appropriately deal with rebellion in the home is when the heart of the father is turned to their children. And by the way, I would just say this, if you are dealing with rebellion, or if you've felt with rebellion in your home, the primary reason for it is that the heart of the father has been turned away from his children. So he says, I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and then I'm going to turn the hearts of the children to the father. But then later he says, I'm going to turn the hearts of the father to the children, and I'm going to turn the hearts of the disobedient back to their fathers. Why? Because children whose fathers have turned away their hearts become rebellious children. And the only way to appropriately deal with rebellion is when the heart of a father is turned to their children. And then, the Bible says, the heart of the children will be turned to their father. But I'd like you to notice just one more thing in these principles. I'm just laying down this foundation for you. This idea of hearts and turning your hearts and relationship. The Bible speaks a lot about it. We see first that fathers should endeavor to have the heart of their children. And we see second that children will only turn their hearts to their fathers only after fathers have actively turned their hearts to their children. And we learn that when fathers do not turn their hearts to their children, they deal with rebellion. And the only way to deal with rebellion in the home is for fathers to engage. Dad, it's time for you to take a break from your phone. It's time for you to stop working so many hours. It's time for you to stop watching so much sports. It's time for you to engage with your children and turn your hearts to your children. It's the only way to deal with rebellion. I'd like you to notice one last thing here. Last part of verse 17, notice what it says. Well, look at verse 17 again. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom. And I just want you to notice these words. To the wisdom of the just. Of the just. Now, if the disobedient is the child and the child is turning his heart towards his father, then I'd like you to notice that the father is the one being referred to as the just. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I'd like you to notice that to have our children's hearts, Dad, look, I'm trying to help you. I hope this helps you. I hope you'll listen. To have the hearts of our children must perceive us as being just. Not hypocritical. Not double-faced. Not we're one way in front of people and another way away from people. Not, well, he puts on a good show at church, but at home it's a different story. The only way for us to have the hearts of our children is for our children to perceive us as just, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and then notice it and look, and I think this is why we're failing. All of these things, nothing in the Bible is incidental, coincidental, accidental. All of these things are put in context for a reason, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Why is it that young people are growing up in churches like Verity Baptist Church and churches, good churches, Baptist churches, King James only churches, and they grow up and they don't live for God. They grow up and they don't internalize the things that we've taught them. They don't carry on the mantle. They don't take the baton. They walk away from the doctrines that they've been taught, the faith that they've been given. Why is it that children grow up and they walk away from the faith, as we often sing on Father's Day, the faith of their fathers? Is because we have failed to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Because the only way to prepare people for the Lord is for you, Dad. It's for myself as a father. To turn our hearts towards our children. And then they will turn their hearts towards their fathers. It's how you deal with rebellion. It's how you deal with this idea of preparing a people for the Lord. Now, I've shown you from Scripture where the principle of the heart is stated. I hope it's been clear. But I'd like now to share with you where the principle of the heart is illustrated. If you would go with me to the book of 2 Samuel. In the Old Testament, you've got those one and two books. They're all clustered together. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. 2 Samuel chapter number 14. I'd like you to look down at verse number 1. We've seen where the principles are stated. What are the principles? Fathers should endeavor to have the heart of their children. Children will turn their hearts to their fathers only when fathers first turn their hearts to their children. The only way to appropriately deal with rebellion is for fathers to have 22 through 23. And in verse 28, we learn that Absalom grew angry and bitter at the injustice of David allowing Amnon to force his half-sister Tamar. And Absalom took matters into his own hands and killed Amnon. In 2 Samuel 13 and verse 38, the Bible tells us, and we read that Absalom fled to Geshur for 3 years after killing his half-brother Amnon. And in 2 Samuel 14 and verse 1 is where we pick up the story. I want you to notice it there in verse 1. Notice the wording. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king, this is David, look at it, look what it says, that the king's heart was toward Absalom. Absalom is living in a different nation. He's been gone for 3 years. He killed his brother Amnon, and he's been missing now. And Joab, who we would call today in our military a general, he's the captain of the host, he has perceived that David's heart is towards Absalom. Look at verse 21, just for sake of time. Verse 21, and the king said unto Joab, because here's what happened. David's heart is towards Absalom, but David did not act on it. His heart is towards Absalom, but he has not acted on it, and he did not bring back Absalom. Joab, and I'm not going to take the time to go through the whole story, steps in, and Joab has stepped in and now convinced David to bring Absalom back. Because Joab, verse 1, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. Verse 21, and the king said unto Joab, behold now, I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. I want you to notice that David's heart is towards his son Absalom. And he has now been nudged and he has been moved towards the direction of reconciling with Absalom, bringing Absalom home. And he tells Joab, go ahead, bring him home. Look at it again, verse 24. And the king said, verse 21. And the king said unto Joab, behold now, I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. But here's the thing. David brought back Absalom, but still failed to build a relationship with him. In fact, David refused to see Absalom. Look at verse 23. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, let him turn to his own house. This was David speaking about his son Absalom. Let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. David's heart is towards Absalom. And I would probably guess that every father's heart is towards their son. But the problem is that David does what most fathers do. They don't act on it. They ignore it. They don't try to build a relationship. In fact, here David says, go ahead and bring him back, but let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. Look at verse 28. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. And what we see is that Absalom, now here we're talking about a grown man Absalom, but this applies to little children all the way to grown adults. What we see is that Absalom, like every son and every daughter, has a desire to be accepted, has a desire to be loved, has a desire to make his father proud. You ever heard this term before, daddy issues? Why do people have daddy issues? Well, if you grew up with a dad that never praised you, never accepted you, always made you feel lesser than, every child has in them this innate feeling to want to be accepted, to want to be ill. Now therefore, let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. I want you to notice that we see here that Absalom had a desire to see his dad. What was the problem? The problem was that David, though his heart leaned towards Absalom, had not made the steps, had not taken the steps to reconcile with his son. And as we learned in Malachi, and as we learned in Luke, it all begins with dad. Fathers must first turn their hearts to their children, and then children will turn their hearts to their fathers. And Absalom grows bitter. In fact, the burning of Joab's fields, they represent something. They represent Absalom's anger. The fire burning represents the fire burning in his heart as he was rejected by his father. And look, the good news is this. Children want to have a relationship with their parents. They want to be accepted by their parents. But parents must first turn their hearts to their children. So then what happens? David has lost time. And Absalom has now crossed the line with David. Even though they do meet, look at 2 Samuel 14:33. The Bible says, so Joab came to the king and told him. And when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom. They finally reconciled, but by now it's too late. At this point in the relationship of David and Absalom, David has lost the heart of Absalom. And Absalom will now rebel against his father. Look at the story, 2 Samuel 15, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king. You know what's interesting is this, that the same way that hearts can be stolen is the same way that they can be gained. Verse 6, and on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Look at verse 13. And you know the story. He rebels against David. He usurps his authority. There's a civil war. He tries to kill his father. David runs for his life. In 2 Samuel 15 and verse 13, we see these words. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. The truth is that an emotionally intelligent father will understand that he must turn his heart towards his children before it's too late. And by the way, whoever has their heart will have their loyalty. And this is why we must be careful. And look, Dad, listen to me. There are Absaloms all over this world trying to steal the hearts of your children. Trying to steal the influence, trying to steal the loyalty, trying to steal the impact. They trying to put your children on a path maybe different than the one that you'd like for them. Say, what can I do? You got to fight for them. You got to fight for that relationship. You've got the home court advantage. It all begins with fathers turning their hearts to their children. We turn our hearts to our children first. And when they can identify it, if it's not too late, they'll turn their hearts towards us. So we see that an emotionally intelligent father, number one, turns his heart towards his children. But I'd like you to notice a second thing this morning. Keep your place there in 2 Samuel. We're going to come back there. Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. If you kept your place in Luke, from Luke you've got John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. If not, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, let me give you a second thing that emotionally intelligent fathers do. I would say that this idea of turning your hearts to your children, that's the big one. And look, Dad, only you know the truth of where your heart is. But if your heart is somewhere else, if your attention and your strength and your energy is being put in a direction that is away from your children, you've got to wake up and get some emotional intelligence. And realize that emotional, intelligent fathers turn their hearts towards their children. And look, it's easy to have your hearts distracted. I hope you understand. I'm preaching to myself this morning. It's easy. It is the only negative command given in parenting. Do you understand there's a difference in the types of commandments that are given in the Bible? There are commands in the Bible that are negative, and there are commands in the Bible that are positive. The way that I've taught this in the past has been this. There are sins of commission and sins of omission. A sin of omission is when we don't do what we're supposed to do. A sin of commission is when we do what we're not supposed to do. There's two types of commandments in the Bible. There's the thou shalt not, that's a negative command. And there's the thou shalt, that's a positive command. Now, all the commands in the Bible are all important. But I would submit to you this morning that the thou shalt nots are more important and more critical and more crucial than the thou shalt. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Here's an example. The Bible says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we should love our neighbors as ourselves, and that is very important. But it will be more devastating in your life if you fail to keep thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, that's bad. But if you fail to keep this one, thou shalt not commit adultery, that's devastating. Thou shalt not kill? That's devastating. The not commandments are more important. They're more crucial. They're more intense and more devastating than the positive commands. And there's lots of positive commands. My son, give me thine heart. They're positive. But here's a negative command when it comes to parenting. And it's directed at fathers. And it says this, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers are told to not provoke their children to wrath. Why? Well, I think it's because fathers often are the ones that provoke their children to wrath. Obviously, this is not 100%, but in general, men tend to deal with problems of anger and tempers more than women. And fathers are instructed here, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't provoke your children's wrath. What does that mean? Provoke means to poke at, to try to do something to make your children angry. Don't do it. I often see fathers do this. I sometimes see myself doing this. And it's devastating. And dad, you've got to develop enough emotional intelligence to say, I can't do that. I can't provoke my children to wrath. How is it that fathers, because I think dads, they go, well, I don't do that. Let me give you some ways that fathers will provoke their children to wrath. Criticizing unjustly. Listen, dad, this constant criticism of your children, it's never good, it's never good enough, it's never right. That's provoking your children to wrath. Do you understand that you should not expect an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old to do things the way that you would do it? You understand that you should not expect an 8-year-old to do something in the way that maybe you would expect an 18-year-old to do, or a 10-year-old to do something in a way that you'd expect a 20-year-old to do? And I understand that we as dads, sometimes we're busy and we're finally, you know, when we're finally not distracted by sports, or finally not distracted by work, or finally not distracted by business, and we finally start to do something with our children, and we take them out to play somewhere, or we have them help us with some sort of project around the house, then they can't do it right. No, you don't nail it that way. You nail it this way. Why are you? Just get out of the way. And I'm just here to tell you, dad, the constant criticizing of your children is provoking your children to wrath. Speaking harshly to your children. So guilty of this. We often see kids, and because they're born in our house, and we change their diapers, and we have fed them and cared for them, we see, and we're so familiar with them. We treat them worse than we would treat a stranger. We speak so harshly. Speak so meanly. Give more respect to other children that we don't even know than our own. And we provoke our children to wrath, criticizing unjustly, speaking harshly. How about this one? Teasing excessively. It's amazing to me how many dads are bullies. Constantly teasing their children, just kind of agitating their children, making their children upset. I would remind you, dad, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Criticizing unjustly, speaking harshly, teasing excessively. Here's another one. Insulting publicly. Insulting your children. Insulting them in the presence of others. Making fun of them in front of others. These are tendencies that maybe we have, and I'm not minimizing them. I'm definitely not minimizing them. I'm just saying to you, dad, we need to wake up. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Oftentimes, fathers provoke their children. Keep your finger there in Ephesians. Go to Colossians chapter 3, if you would. And look, you say, why is this important? Here's why it's important, and we connect it back to this matter of the heart. Why is it important to not provoke your children to wrath? Here's why. Because the heart can be lost. Didn't we see that with Absalom? David lost the heart of Absalom, and then Absalom stole the hearts of the men. And here's what you and I need to remember, that hearts can be lost, hearts can be hardened, and hearts can be stolen. And we must fight against that, dad. Fathers who provoke their children to wrath often raise children who are angry, vengeful, discouraged, and bitter. Colossians 3, look at verse 21, look at it. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Provoke not your children to anger. Look at it. Why? You say, why not? Here's why. Lest they be discouraged. Lest they be discouraged. Fathers who provoke their children raise children to grow up angry, discouraged, vengeful, bitter. You say, well, what do we do? What do we do? Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me show you what the Bible says. Look, we dads, we need to memorize Ephesians chapter 6, and we need to memorize this. We need to think about this. We need to think about this every time we speak to our children, every time we deal with problems, every time we have to deal with our children. These are thoughts that need to be in our mind. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't do it. Don't provoke them to wrath. Don't speak to them harshly. Don't criticize them unjustly. Don't insult them publicly. What do we do? Here's what you do. but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what does that mean? That's not just spiritual talk. That's actually telling us what to do. What is he telling us to do? Bring them up in the nurture. The word nurture means to care for and encourage the growth and development. The way that you would nurture a plant. The way that you would nurture a little calf or something that you want to grow. The Bible says that you and I should care and love for our children. We should bring them up in the nurture, the care for, the encouragement, the growth and development. The nurture, but notice there's a balance to it. And admonition. What's admonition? Admonition is to counsel, to advise, to caution. The Bible says that our job as fathers is not to scream and yell and get upset and angry. And look, I understand it's easy. It's easy to lose your temper and it's easy to just get upset and start. Look, I'm a yeller. Can I just admit that to you? Part of it, I think, is because I'm a preacher. You know, I get up here and I preach. And then I go home and I preach. But you know that our job is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We should create an environment of growth where they can be nourished and developed. And it's not this free-for-all, just do whatever you want, son. No. It's admonition, counsel, care, caution. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. It's not just do whatever you want. Be the cool parent. No, it's nurture and admonition. I said, number one, emotionally intelligent fathers must turn their hearts towards their children. Number two, emotionally intelligent fathers must not provoke their children to wrath. Not provoke their children to wrath. Don't criticize them unjustly. Be happy with what they produce. Be happy with what they do. If they're trying and they're working at it, and sometimes we need to correct, and sometimes we need to say, no, don't do it that way, do it this way, or here's a better way to do it. But don't criticize, just constantly nitpicking at them, and you don't do it right, and you didn't do that right, and you didn't do this right. Criticizing unjustly, speaking harshly, teasing excessively, insulting publicly. You say, why? Because hearts can be lost, and they can be hardened. And they can be stolen. So do not provoke your children to wrath. And number three, I'd like you to notice this. If you would, go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. If you're there in Ephesians, you'll go past Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Go past the T books, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. We're studying through the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night. We actually just got done with Hebrews chapter 12. As I was studying through Hebrews chapter 12 for our Wednesday night Bible study, this jumped out at me. You ever have the Word of God just... I mean, the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. You ever have the Bible, you just read something, you've read it 100 times, and it jumps out at you and just slaps you across the face. I mean, this just jumped out at me, just punched me in the face. And I thought to myself, this is so good, I'm not going to deal with this on Wednesday night. I'm going to wait on this for Father's Day. Because in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, the context is actually that of correction and the correction of fathers. Look at verse 5 just to get a running head start. Hebrews 12 and verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Now, verses 5 through 8 is actually talking about the chastisement that comes from our Heavenly Father, from God the Father. Verses 5 through 8. But then in verse 9, he begins to talk about earthly fathers. Look at what he says, verse 9. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh." These are our physical fathers on earth. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" And what he's saying is this: if your dad spanked you and you gave him reverence, why not give your Heavenly Father reverence when he gives you a spiritual spanking? That's the context. But here's verse 10. "For they," who's the they? The fathers of our flesh. Our earthly fathers. Look at it, verse 10. "For they verily..." Dad, would you mark these words in your Bible? Underline these words in your Bible. For they verily, look at these words, for a few days. For a few days. I was studying through Hebrews chapter 12 several weeks ago for Wednesday night Bible study. These words just jumped out at me. They just slapped me across the face. For they verily, look at it again, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You know that emotionally intelligent fathers, they turn their hearts towards their children. Emotionally intelligent fathers, they do not provoke their children to wrath. But you know what, thirdly, this morning, emotionally intelligent fathers, they realize that their time with their children is limited. They verily chastened us. They corrected us. They try to put us on the right path, and they try to help us, and sometimes they gave us correction and chastisement. They did that. That's what our earthly fathers did that for. How long? For they verily, for a few days. And the truth is this, Dad, that if you've got children in your home, you only have them for a few days. We only have our kids for just a short amount of time. That's not wasted. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit that we might be the partakers of his holiness. Go to Job, if you would, Job 29. I'm not sure if you kept your place in Proverbs. I think I asked you to keep your place in Proverbs. If you kept your place in Proverbs, if you go backwards, you've got the book of Psalms and then the book of Job. Job 29, just right in the center of the Bible is the book of Psalms. Right before Psalms, you have Job 29. See, emotionally intelligent fathers, they realize that their time is limited. We only have our children in our home for a few days. I know it seems like a long time, and if you're right in the midst of it, it seems like a long time. Trust me, I understand it. I mean, you get one kid, and it's just, you know, you and your wife versus that one kid. And then you get another kid, and it's like two on two. And then you get three, and you go to a zone defense. You know what I'm talking about? And then four, I mean, I don't know, but four to us, like four, that's when it's like you're just overwhelmed. I mean, you know, you're just keeping your head above water. And for us, the Lord has blessed us with five and six. And it seems like these diapers are never going to run out. These kids are never going to get potty trained. It's never going to come to an end. We're just going to be dealing with this forever. It just seems like it'll last forever. But you know, eventually you'll buy your last diaper. And your youngest will graduate from kindergarten. And your oldest will get a license. And it'll begin to settle in that we only have these kids for a few days. For a few days. We only have them for a short amount of time. Job 29 and verse 1. Remember Job, he lost all his children, had 10 children, lost them all. Lost his wealth. Friends turned on him, his wife turned on him. It's interesting to me because in the midst of his grief, you do not see Job saying, oh, remember the house that I used to live in, remember the car that I used to drive, remember the clothes that I used to wear. In the midst of his grief, we do not see Job talking about, remember all the great things and all those great trips, remember how nice all that was. No, but in the midst of his grief, here's what we hear Job say, Job 29 verse 1, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. He's looking back and he's thinking, I wish I could go back. What are you talking about, Job? Talking about back to your job, talking back to your career, back to your stock market, back to all the wealth, back to all the success. What are you talking about? What are you reminiscing about, Job? Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. What are you talking about, Job? Look at verse 5. When the Almighty was yet with me. Notice that the most important thing to Job is his relationship with God. And then he says this. When my children were about me. The word about,
It's a military term. In the military, when we have soldiers marching, they're given different commands. One of the commands is about face. What that means is to turn around. The word about means around. And when Job looks back on his life and he reminisces about certain days, he misses certain things. He doesn't talk about the yacht. He doesn't talk about the RV. He doesn't talk about the vehicles. He doesn't talk about the house and the summer home. And he doesn't talk about the things. He doesn't talk about possessions. He says, "Oh, that I were as in months past when the Almighty was yet with me and when my children were around." When my children were about me. And I'm here to tell you, Dad, that you better take advantage of these days when your children are about you, when they're around you, when they're in the home, when they're in the living room. Talk with them and engage with them. Why? Because we only have them for a few days. Only have them for a few days. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 18 if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 18. We're talking about being an emotionally intelligent father. What does an emotionally intelligent father do? He turns his heart towards his children. Why? Because he realizes that fathers should endeavor to turn their hearts towards their children. And when fathers actively turn their hearts, not just in their minds, but they turn their hearts and they begin to work towards and walk in that direction of turning their hearts to their children, that children will turn their hearts to their fathers. And the only way to deal with rebellion, and if you're dealing with rebellion, Dad, you should look at your heart. The only way that we can have our children's heart is when they perceive us being just. That's why the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, said, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." We understand that hearts can be lost, and hearts can be hardened, and hearts can be stolen. So emotionally intelligent fathers do not allow their job or their career or their hobby or sports or anything else take their hearts away from their families. They turn their hearts to their families. Emotionally intelligent fathers understand that because hearts can be hardened, they do not provoke their children to wrath. They do not criticize. They're not mean and harsh. They're not bullies. They're not jabbing at their children. They don't insult them. Emotionally intelligent fathers do not provoke their children to wrath. And emotionally intelligent fathers realize that their time is limited. Their time is limited. Now, we spent some time this morning looking at David as a father. And let me just say this. David was a great man of God. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible doesn't say that about me. It doesn't say it about you. So before we criticize David a little too harshly, let's remember that he was a great man of God. But he obviously had some failures as a father. What were his failures? His failures were that he did not turn his heart towards his children. Joab said, "I can see that your heart is toward David. Why won't you reach out to him?" David would not reach out to him. When Joab pushed him to reach out to him, he said, "Fine, bring him back." But when he came back, he said, "I don't want to see him. I don't want to talk to him." David failed to actively turn his heart towards his children. David was seen as unjust. What was the reason that Absalom grew so bitter? Because Amnon raped his sister, and David did nothing. And Absalom perceived it as unjust. David provoked his children to wrath through that act of injustice. And David did not realize that his time was limited. He allowed 3 years to go by with Absalom being away, did not talk to him. He finally brings him back and he allows 2 more years to go by before he ever sees Absalom. Absalom has to burn. He has to engage in rebellion. He has to engage in destruction. And he burns the fields of Joab to get the attention of his father David. David did not realize that his time was limited. David lost the heart of his son Absalom. It's a tragic story. I'd like you to see how it ends. Remember the rebellion? Great civil war? David even instructs his generals. He says, "Deal kindly with the youth." He told them, "Don't kill Absalom." Joab didn't listen. At the end of the battle, Absalom is dead. In 2 Samuel 18 and verse 32, the Bible says this, "And the king said unto Cushai," Cushai is the young man that has been sent to give David the news of the battle. Here's the first question he asks. He asks, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is." That was a very diplomatic way of telling David, Absalom is dead. I want you to notice how the relationship with David and Absalom ends, verse 33. "And the king was much moved." "And the king was much moved. And went up to the chamber over the gate." Get this picture in your mind's eye. David the king. He killed Goliath. He's a man after God's own heart. And here we see David, after having somebody try to usurp his kingdom and take his kingdom, has come out the winner, the one who tried to rebel and bring rebellion, has been put to death, Absalom. And the Bible tells us that the king was much moved and went up the chamber over the gate. Watch David as he walks up these steps up to this chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, look at the words, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." You know what I see? Was regret. "Would God I had died for thee, oh my son Absalom, Absalom." Say, "Pastor, why would you preach a sermon like this?" Because I'd like to get to the end of my child raising days with as few regrets as possible. And I'm trying to help some of you dads to wake up as well. An 11-year-old boy was filling out a form at school. His teachers, having very low emotional intelligence, assumed that the children knew how to fill out the form, though they did not. 11-year-old boy was writing in his personal information. And then there was a line that said, "Name of your parent slash guardian," to which he wrote his father's name. And then the next line said, "Relationship." And not knowing what to write, he wrote these words, "Very good." I wonder if our children would say of our relationship with them that it's very good. Let's pray together, may we? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And we thank you for fathers in our lives. Lord, I thank you for my father and the great influence that he had on my life. And we thank you for the men that are associated here, the men that are the fathers that are represented here today. Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd help us to realize that our time is limited. We must turn our hearts towards our children before it's too late. And Lord, I realize that a day like today can be difficult for some that have lost their fathers, some that never really had a father, some whose father was maybe mean and abusive. Lord, we thank you that we have a great Heavenly Father. He never disappoints. He's always everything we need. And Lord, I pray you'd help us fathers to do our best, to be the best fathers for our children. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen. We're now, Brother Matt, come up and lead us in a final song. Just want to remind you of a couple of things. First of all, of course, today being Father's Day, we have a gift for all of the men and boys. So right after the service, just right in that main foyer there, there's tables set up. They've got paper that lets you know what the sizes are. But of course, we've got the Verity Baptist Church T-shirts, so make sure you go by and grab one T-shirt, one per person, every adult, every child, all the men, and of course the ladies got their T-shirts on Mother's Day. And want to remind you that tonight we're giving out T-shirts as well. Not these T-shirts. Tonight we're giving out the Red Hot Preaching Conference T-shirts, and they're going to everyone. Everyone in attendance tonight can get a Red Hot Preaching Conference. We allow our church family to get it first before we give it at the conference, so make sure you come tonight. Grab your T-shirt. I want to encourage you to be with us. We have a great service lined up for you today. Tonight, not only are we giving out the Red Hot Preaching Conference T-shirts, but we are ending our study in the book of Numbers. We're going to look at the last chapter of the book of Numbers, Numbers 36, and I hope you'll join us for that. And then, of course, don't forget that this week is the Red Hot Preaching Conference, and we just want you to be aware of a couple of things. First of all, no service on Wednesday night. No service on Wednesday night. We'll have church Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday events, and Sunday morning, Sunday night. So there'll be no service on Wednesday night. Make sure you look at the schedule, be aware of all the things coming up. And if you could help us with the parking situation, we would appreciate it. Make sure you take a look at that and plan to park there. If there's anything that we can do for you, please let us know. And again, we want to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are with us today. If there's anything we can do for you, please, again, reach out to us. Well, Brother Matt, come up and lead us in a final song. God bless you. Happy Father's Day.
Turn to song 304. 304. On the first.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between, like pride or like station. Self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
Good, on the last.
Nothing between in many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene. Watching with prayer and much self-denial, I'll triumph at last with nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
Amen. Good singing. Before we leave here, if anybody has questions about salvation, church membership, or baptism, Pastor will be at the door. He'd love to talk to you or direct you to someone who's trained to talk to you about that. Brother Montel, close the prayer for us.